Hi, and welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
How has your week been so far, or this past week, I guess, since we last recorded?
It's been a pretty chill week. I am beginning to Christmas shop, you know, just like starting to get some stuff here and there so I don't wait till last minute like I usually do. I'm trying to be a planner this year. End the year off right.
I know the feeling. I need to do the same. Like, I have not started Christmas shopping for anybody yet. And I was actually just thinking about that earlier today. And I was like, man, I need to either get on it this weekend or something if I want everything to come in time. So I'm going to go ahead and start doing that.
I also signed up for Secret Santa, which is next week. At my work, we do a Secret Santa week. Like, you give 5 small gifts throughout the week. So I have to figure out 5 small things. I always feel like the week-long Secret Santa is not as good as a one-time. Because, like, you can't give 5 good small things, right? For, like, a budget.
I don't know. Like, isn't there usually, like, Secret Santa, you usually put, like, a cap on the prize, that way somebody doesn't, like, give you, oh, here's a PlayStation 4 or PlayStation 5 or something like that. It's, like, $20 or something.
Yeah, I think ours is $25. Yeah. So, I don't know, what, like, $5 a day?
I guess. Like, that's usually how I did. Like, though there's been a few times, and I will be the first to admit I am terrible at Secret Santa, because somebody, like, we did it at work a few years ago, and somebody said I forget what they said they wanted, but, like, they don't say exactly what they want, but they say, like, things they're interested in, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, what can I buy that? What can I buy that is in this theme for under $20 or whatever? And I can never come up with anything, so I just wound up giving them a $20 gift card and, like, have fun.
Yeah. Okay, so do you, in my spending on my $25, do I just eat the tax, or do I include the tax in my $25?
I think you're supposed to eat the tax.
Interesting. Interesting. I don't know. I gotta figure out something. My plan is to just walk around Walmart with the things they like list, and then just fill up my cart.
You could just do, like, a bunch of candy bars or something for $25. I mean, you know, it's not like there's a ton of stuff you can get for $25. And then if there are other restrictions, then I'll make it even harder. Like, if there's, like, no alcohol or something, because I might be able to get somebody, like, a bottle of wine or something for that much and call it a day, but.
Oh, I wouldn't mind a whole bunch of, like, okay, not to change the subject, but, like, something I saw on TikTok. I'm a big cocktail drinker. I love drinking cocktail. I saw this guy, and he has those little bottles of liquor, you know, like the ones you get on airplanes?
Yeah.
And then that's how he makes his cocktails, like, individual cocktails. Because each one is like a shot. So he kind of, like, pours one and mixes them together. And it's like, then you don't have to have a full bottle of liquor.
Just go to, like, Specs or something and grab a basket of the mini bottles of alcohol to give somebody for $25.
I would not mind that. That would be good for me. Man, I was going to say something. Oh, I haven't played Secret Santa in a long time. Because the last time I played Secret Santa, I didn't get a gift. Aww. And then when I confronted the person. So, you know, it's really weird because you don't know who it is because it's Secret Santa. So on the day, like, it was a one day thing. So on the day everyone exchanged gifts, I didn't have a gift. So I was kind of like, okay, whatever. I'm not going to make a deal about it right now. Maybe. So I waited a couple days, and then I was like, okay, who was it? Who is my gift? And then I confronted that person. And I was like, you didn't give me a gift. And they're like, oh, she was like, I'm still working on it. I'm still working on the gift. So I let it go a couple more days. And then I'm like, hey, where's my gift? Like, at this point, I'm like, give me my stuff. Do you know what my gift was?
I hope it was something like that took, that was handmade and took a while to build it.
It was a $25 gift card to Target.
So that just tells me that she totally forgot until you told her, like, oh, where's my gifts? And she's like, oh, crap, I forgot. Yeah, I'll get it to you in a day.
I was just like, okay, man. I do feel like for those people who don't follow Secret Santa right, I feel like I should have gotten her gift. Even though it wouldn't have anything pertaining to me, I still would have been like, the satisfaction of her not getting it would have somewhat rewarded me.
I guess. I don't think I've ever had that happen where somebody forgot a gift. I did. So the last time I did Secret Santa at work, and this was pre-COVID, so 2018, 2019, I don't remember exactly when. But, you know, they do a little survey because it's supposed to be secret. So it's going to be somebody you don't know. And it's purely participatory. You know, like you sign up for it. You're not required to do it by any stretch of the imagination. And so they give you like this little survey that says like, what do you like? What are your hobbies? Stuff like that. And then when they do like the randomization of the Secret Santa, they give you that. So that way you can try to buy something that relates to what that person likes. I don't know why, but at some point I just wrote Oreos like on one of the things. So I think it was like, what was your favorite dessert or what's your favorite cookie? It was something like that. And the person got me like a Costco sized box of Oreos.
Oh, dang. That doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah, but I was also like trying to diet at that time. So I was like, why did I even feel in that answer?
Oh, man. So back in my, like when I was 16, one of my first jobs, okay, as much as I like dog on Secret Santa, I love Secret Santa. I love it so much. Even though like I had a bad experience with it. It stopped me from playing, but I'm back. But when I was at my first job, someone was like, do you want to organize a Secret Santa? So I did. And it was a normal one. And then after that year, I was like, I'm going to start theming them. Like, one year was, like, the Secret Santa gift had to be a book. So it had to be, like, a book as a gift. But one of my favorite themes was, you had to give, the gift had to be something that person hated. Like, it had to be a hated item.
That is an interesting twist, I'm not going to lie. I did not see that one coming.
Yeah, so you had to find something that someone, like, something that they dislike a lot.
You know, that kind of reminds me a few years ago, maybe 5 years ago, 7 years ago, somebody launched a dating app. I don't know if it still exists, but I think it was called like Hated or something like that. And the idea was perhaps people would match better if they connected over the things they hated instead of the things that they liked.
Huh. I mean, I always find hate is more powerful than love.
In a way, it is, too. Like, it's easier to get people to talk about the things that upset them or anger them than talk about the things that make them happy. I get maybe it's just at my crowd, but I've noticed, like, that seems to be a common thing. Like, if you're just like, hey, what makes you happy or what makes you pleasant? Oh, you know, whatever. What upsets you? Oh, my gosh, traffic. It's so terrible.
Yeah, it's not like when you go out with coworkers, you're never like, oh man, this person did such a great job today. It's like, I hate this person. They're so lazy today. When are they going to quit this job?
Yep, exactly. Or where, you know, you get home, oh honey, how was your day? And like, maybe every once in a while it would be like, oh, it was great. Everything was good. It's like, normally it's like, oh, don't talk to me. My boss came in and he was such a jerk. And then we had a customer who just wouldn't leave and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, hate is stronger. Like, we need a harness. If the monsters in Monsters, Inc. could have found a way to harness hatred, they wouldn't have a powered outage in their world.
Yeah, probably. Though kids, well, I guess kids, because like they were harvesting the hatred in kids, and I'm thinking, kids don't have a lot of stuff that they hate, but then now I think about it, I think they have a lot of stuff that they hate. It's like Brussels sprouts and stuff, so I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, I don't like Brussels sprouts either. Well, that's not true. I've grown to love Brussels sprouts. If you cook them the right way, they're good.
It's amazing how your palate changes when you're older. I don't know if it's because like your palate gets more sensitive or desensitized or whatever, but things that I used to absolutely hate when I was a kid, I like now. And like, I think about the things that I like when I was a kid, and they had like no flavor. They were like bland.
Or just like super salty or like super.
Yeah. They were either like super salty and sweet, or they were like bland, like chicken nuggets. Like don't get me wrong. Chicken nuggets have their place in the world, but you know, they don't really have a flavor either.
This is true, man. I don't know. Oh, speaking of chicken nuggets, not to change this, I'm just jumping all over, but did you hear McDonald's giving away some gold cards?
I did not know that. Is that the secret card that like supposedly gives you unlimited McDonald's and only friends of the executives have it or something like that?
It is. They're giving away, I think they're giving away 4 cards. So you have to use their app. And every time you spend a dollar's worth on their app, like for every order over a dollar you spend on their app is one entry for you. And they're giving away 4 of these gold cards. But the winners get an extra 2 gold cards to give away to their friends. So, I don't know. When I always think of chicken nuggets, I think of McDonald's. I feel like that is one of the superior chicken nuggets. I don't know. What do you think?
It's been a long time, honestly, since I've had a chicken nugget. But I'm going to go ahead and say, I don't disagree with you. I remember like, actually, I think when I was a kid, I preferred Burger King, to be quite honest. That or Wendy's. I did enjoy Wendy's a lot too.
Yes, Wendy's is a good. They have spicy chicken nuggets, I believe. I love spicy anything now.
I do. I as I got older, I started to like spice. When I was really young, I hated it because I just didn't like the heat or the feeling. But as I got to like teenage years and older, I started to really enjoy it.
I love the spicy ramens with like the chicken on the front of it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my jam.
They have some really hot stuff that you can find in like, I forget where, but they have some really hot stuff that you can find in Japan, like really hot ramen. Mm. Or is it Korea? One of the two.
I don't know. Well, I feel like Japan would have. Maybe they both. Because the ramen I eat, the spicy ramen, is Korean. But I feel like Japan probably have. Maybe Korea is more spicy and Japan's like, we have more fun Kit Kat flavors.
That could be it. Because I do remember being in Korea or Japan, one of the two. And they had like this. And it's, I guess legendary is maybe not the right term, but incredibly popular, well-known. Like, I think some of the mukbang eaters, if that's the term, is that the one where, like, they eat a bunch of food? What one of them was talking about, and it's, like, comes in this black container, and it is, like, ungodly.
Is it black hot noodles?
It might, maybe? I can't remember.
Okay, I think I know. I think I have that in my closet, like, in my pantry. Not my closet, that would be weird. In my pantry, and I'm afraid to eat it. It looks really spicy.
Yeah, supposedly it is way too much spice.
Like, my dream is to be on Hot Ones. Like, I hope this podcast takes off a lot and then we're on Hot Ones.
That would be fun.
Because I want to eat those wings. I don't know what questions he would like. I feel like there's no really good questions to ask us.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Do you think Hank Hill would do well on Hot Ones? I don't think from what I've seen on the show, I don't think he's eaten hot food, but I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, man. Gosh, I don't think he eats spicy food. Everything feels like it's red meat. First of all, I feel like he only eats red meat.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Gosh, I don't even know if he would like a chicken wing. He'd be like, that's an Austin thing or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think we see him. It's definitely burgers. And sometimes we see him eat fish. I don't think we see him eat too much chicken. But and even if we do, I don't think it's like, I think it's chicken fried steak, not like super hot chicken.
If anyone, I feel like I don't know. It's a toss up between Peggy and Bobby, who would do better on Hot Ones.
Oh, Bobby for sure.
But do you think Bobby can handle the spice?
I think he can handle it better than Peggy can.
Oh, really? I just feel like Peggy'd be like, "Hoo yeah!" And then just like, you know, try to eat the wings. They'd be like, "And now translate these Spanish phrases for us, Peggy."
That's true. She is so stubborn, she'd probably push through it even if her mouth was like bleeding from pain. Well, on that note, we can jump into King of the Hill. Today we're going to be doing our episode 38, Pretty Pretty Dresses, which is season 3, episode 9. It is a Christmas-themed episode, so to speak. You know, it happens around Christmas, but it's more of a sad Christmas story than like a holly jolly Santa Claus kind of Christmas story. But I've always had mixed feelings about this one because of how they treat mental health. But I do, I mean, at least at the end, there is some resolution. So, okay, it's I guess. And then it's also just a TV show. So, I don't know. It's multiple feelings. But let's jump right into it. So we start in the alley. This is like right before the opening credits roll. And you see the guys are just kind of standing in the alley like they do, drinking. And then just out of nowhere, Bill breaks into crying in tears. And it's funny and sad that like none of the guys seem to be fazed by it. They're just kind of standing there, just continuing their drink. And then all of a sudden you hear like a Christmas carol play. And then that's when the opening credits play and the theme song and stuff. We join the guys and Bill goes on about how much he loves Christmas. And it reminds him about how Lenore left him 7 years ago on Christmas Eve. And he's weirdly trying to act like he moved on, but it's clear that he hasn't. Cause he said like, "Oh yeah, it's the best thing that ever happened to me, man. Christmas is the least lonely time of the year." And he starts sniffling and walks away, goes home. And Hank's like, "You know what? I want to eat a cookie. Bill always has cookies lying around. Maybe." And he walks off.
I feel like this happens every year, right? The way that they don't react to it, I feel like this is kind of like a yearly thing for Bill.
You know, that is a very good point. Like, I highly doubt that he only started feeling sad about Lenore like this year, 7 years later. It's probably been every year, and they're just like, whatever. Like they just got to a point where they don't care. They know, oh, we just need to get through it. Like, let him cry it out. And then when the new year hits, he'll be back to normal.
Though I could also see the flip side where it's like, if we just ignore this, it will go away.
They are definitely, you know, this is the 90s when the show comes out. This is Texas. These are men who are probably boomers in Texas. And like, you know, as somebody who grew up in Texas, if you grew up in Texas too, mental health was like a non-issue or people never talked about it. It's not that people didn't have mental health problems. It's just that, you know, it was kind of like, if you're not bleeding, you're not hurt kind of mindset. So you never talked to anybody about your problems or you ignored them and stuff. And I feel like, you know, Hank and the guys came up in that generation where you just toughed it out. Like you didn't cry about it, or you just swallowed the pain and dealt with it until it became a tumor and took you out by the age of 50 or whatever. So yeah, that's kind of the impression I've gotten about how the guys, just how they think about things.
Yeah. I also enjoy a variation on like the theme, like with the Christmas music in the front of it.
Oh yeah.
I kind of love when a show does something special like that.
Yeah, it does make things interesting when they do things different that way. So Bill is at his house. Hank goes to check in on him. And the house is kind of a mess, save for like a really crappy looking Christmas tree and a bunch of gifts and half-wrapped gifts lying around, all labeled to be for Lenore. And Bill comes in. He's like, "Oh, I was just cleaning up for baby Jesus' birthday." And Hank wanted to make sure that he'll still be coming over for dinner until the new year. And Bill's like, "Yeah, I cleared out my calendar to the end of the year and a good chunk of next year," which is depressing. But at least, you know, Hank is, I guess, making sure he can keep tabs on Bill and that Bill doesn't feel super lonely by letting him eat dinner with the family every dinner. But then Hank asks, like, if he's keeping these gifts around in case Lenore returns. And, you know, Bill's like, yeah. But then Hank's trying to just make Bill face the reality and say, look, Lenore's not coming by. She hasn't as much as called you in 7 years. But he's just like, you know, you need to face that she's never. And then, of course, she sees that Bill is, like, getting sad and starting to weep and stuff. And so Hank softens the blows, like, oh, you never know. I guess stranger things have happened. So, you know, that kind of perks Bill up a little bit, giving him the hope. It's like the old, I'm probably going to get it wrong, but you remember the Dumb and Dumber quote when it's like, is there a chance we'll ever to get together? And it's like, or is it like one in a million? It's like more like one in a billion. So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah.
I do kind of feel bad for Bill. And it is hinted at in some of the other episodes. They don't dwell on it, but apparently Bill had a very bad father who mistreated him. So I think he's just like a broken man in a lot of ways. That's why he is, I guess, written to be a pathetic person, not just because he was born pathetic, but just because he's broken. A lot of us are broken. Most of us are broken in one way or another, but yeah, you know, it makes me kind of feel sad for him.
There was a point in my life where I really wanted to see, like, because we've seen Bill in high school, and then we see him now. We're missing a chunk of Bill timeline.
Absolutely.
And I always wanted to know what happened in that chunk. But during this rewatching of all the episodes and doing the podcast, I'm like, you know what? I don't want to see the downfall of Bill. I feel like that's going to be too sad.
Yeah, there's a part of you that's just like, leave it to the imagination. Like, oh, let's just pretend that we know what happened without actually saying we know what happened.
Yeah, and are those the gifts from when she left him?
I think some of them might be, but then there's some unwrapped gifts lying around too, or not unwrapped, but like you could see they're in the wrapping process. So I feel like he also maybe bought some more in case she showed up.
Huh. Very interesting. I don't know. That's so tough. I feel like you would have to help him get rid of that stuff, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that suggest that they have been, like, I don't know if I'd say bad friends, but definitely negligent friends around Bill, like, not helping him get over it. Now, granted, it's not, you know, it's not their duty. Like, they're not responsible for Bill's emotions. But at the same time, when you see a friend who's, like, in that level of distress, you should try to do something to help him out.
I mean, I'll talk about this more, because there's another scene where I'm like, questioning the friendship, or like, what's the responsible thing to do? But I'll wait until we get to that.
Yeah, when we get there. So we're at the Hills house for dinner. Peggy's talking about working on their Christmas guest list, and she's naming off some people. And Bill's like, all this talking about people is making me think about breakups. And then goes to Luann and brings up her dead boyfriend, and is like, I wonder if you'll ever find love again. You know, most people only have the one. And then goes to Bobby and is like, what was the name of that girl that dumped you? Margaret? Mary's like, Marie. He's like, Marie, that's right. And Peggy was getting upset. Okay, Bill, let's talk about something else. And Peggy's like, Bill's like, Peggy, do you ever think of Bob Cecil? Whoever you liked him, you asked him out, but he didn't like you. And Peggy's upset about this. So it's like Bill, I guess the whole misery loves company thing, Bill is trying to like bring up other people's depressing breakups to make himself feel bad, maybe. Or make himself feel better, rather.
I feel like I never see Bill this aggressive. You know, I think this is like earlier Bill, where he's kind of like sad jabs at people.
Mm-hmm.
Do we see this later on? Not in the newer seasons, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's trying to be rude, so to speak, and which is a weird thing for me to say, but I don't think he's trying to be rude, so to speak. I think he is so sad that he is just subconsciously making other people sad. You know, misery loves company kind of mindset. Anywho, so the next day it's breakfast and, you know, Bobby is serving breakfast and Hank is like, shouldn't you be doing that? And Peggy's like, oh, he likes to help. Peggy is upset at Bill's behavior last night. And Bobby, this is probably the first time we've ever mentioned Bobby say he just doesn't like Bill or doesn't like one of Hank's friends for that matter. And Hank feels like he owes Bill because, you know, Hank's like, oh, you know, 20 years ago, I ran the record for the county and the, or no, a state, for football and stuff. But, you know, Bill blocked for me, and a person who turns his back on somebody who blocks for him is not a person I'd want to have dinner with. So, you know, I guess Hank in some way feels he owes Bill for that. And like, that's why he's putting up with Bill's ridiculousness. However, the next day for dinner, Bill actually has an iguana, and he has it on his shoulder, and he's like, here, come eat it, come eat it. He's like, I guess, trying to feed it like some vegetable off of the table. And Hank's like, oh, so are they out of dogs at the pet store? And Bill's like, no, iguanas are really trendy these days. You see them on movie stars and stuff. And turns out he named it Lenore. And the iguana starts staring at Luann, and Luann's like, should I leave? And Bill's like, that would be much appreciated. And then Bill puts a bug on the table to feed the iguana. And he's like, oh, don't worry, it's already dead. But then the bug twitches. And so the next day, or I'm sorry, that evening in the bedroom, Peggy's like, man, that iguana is a cry for help. And Bill walks into the room and he's like, I had a dream that Lenore came back and she stole Lenore. And then I'm chasing after them and I'm running Lenore, Lenore, and yelling Lenore. And then my teeth fell out. Peggy, you were there. Can I sleep in your living room? And then they're like, yes, Bill. Peggy's like, you have 24 hours to get me out of that man's dreams.
Oh, man. I really wish I could remember. The way Peggy pronounces iguana is different. Oh, man. I can't remember. It's pretty funny. I like, because she throws an accent on it.
And yeah.
I always feel like that's Peggy's way of being like, I'm very well educated. Even though it's kind of like a weird pronunciation of iguana.
Yeah, I'm sure she's like, oh, this is the proper way you're supposed to pronounce it. This is how they pronounce it in Mexico or whatever. That's my guess.
Also, I don't feel like it's that, I mean, I feel like for their neighborhood it's weird, but I feel like if my friend got an iguana, I'd be fine with, you know. I mean, to name it after your ex-wife is pretty rough.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know. Would you have mind seeing it eat a bug off your table, though?
That would have crossed the line for me.
I would have been interested to see it eat a bug, but I don't know, off the place I eat as well.
I wouldn't even want it on the table, much less eating something off the table. I get mad when my dog jumps on the table, so. And the next day in the alley, Hank goes up to Bill, and Bill's like, oh, so what are you having for dinner today? And Hank's like, actually, today I just want to have dinner with just the family and I. And, you know, Bill, why don't you try practicing being happy tonight? And then dinner happens. The Hills are thrilled that Bill isn't around. We cut over to Bill's house, and, you know, he's making spaghetti, and he has a jar of sauce and the spaghetti in the pot, and he brings out a plate and drops it and breaks it, which implies it was his only plate that he owned, or I guess maybe his only clean plate. Let's give him some benefit of the doubt. So instead, he just puts the spaghetti like on the counter, and then he stuffs it in his mouth and just like chugs the spaghetti sauce, and that's his dinner. And then they go over to the Hill House, and we kind of watch them eating dinner, and Hank's talking about, you know, how he wants to make a Clint Eastwood movie where I guess he's a propane salesman. And he's like, and then the Clint Eastwood character would say, that propane tank looks empty. And everybody's impressed. And it's like, oh, who would direct it, Dad? And it's like, oh, I don't know, me or maybe your Aunt Peggy. And they're having a fun conversation. It's one of those things where we see Bill outside across the street looking in. And he's just so sad to see them happy. And he walks into Hank's garage and takes the ladder, and as he's doing that, he accidentally pulls lights off of the house, and in the kitchen, Hank is seeing like the lights are flickering, and he's like, oh, I gotta go take care of that. He walks outside, grabs a ladder, climbs to the roof, and sees that Bill's on the roof, and just assumes like, oh, Bill, what's going on? You have satellite dish problems? And Bill's like, no, I'm gonna kill myself. And Hank's like, what? And then Bill, he doesn't really jump off the roof, so to speak. He like climbs down from the roof. Like we literally see him like kneel down, grab onto the gutter, like shimmy himself off. But then the gutter breaks and he falls. So he couldn't have fallen more than 5 feet, which, not that I'm encouraging him or anybody for that matter to kill themselves, but that would be a very ineffective way to do it.
I don't know. I feel like this is Bill's cry. This episode is Bill's cry for help, for sure. I don't know. I do feel like, regardless, he would have waited for someone to see him on top of that roof.
Yeah.
And then kind of the same thing happened. I do think Bill only owns one plate, one fork, one cup. Because we see a scene where he opens his cabinet and there's one cup, one fork, and one plate in there.
So I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt that, like, maybe there were others, but just kind of strewn across the place because he never does dishes or something that like that, versus just the idea that he only owns, though, like, one set of everything.
I'm shocked that Bill isn't a, like, disposable person kind of thing. You know, like, disposable plates and cups and forks. Like, that seems more of Bill's style.
Yeah, very good very good point. Be easier, too. Just throw them away or cycle them, whatever you do.
I also love this, like, glimpse into the Hill household and kind of, like, what a normal dinner would be like. It seems pretty... And for as much, like, flack as Hank gives Bobby about, like, Hollywood, it feels like he's really got, like, this movie idea going, like...
To be fair, I think Hank is fine with movies. I think he likes old school movies like the Clint Eastwoods and the John Waynes and stuff. I think modern actors like the Ben Stillers, I guess, would be popular. Adam Sandler. In fact, he's even said he's hated Adam Sandler in one episode. So, I think that's his, I think he just hates modern Hollywood. After the commercial break, we see that Bill is in a sling, he's sitting on the porch while kind of everybody in the neighborhood is kind of standing off to on the street talking about what to do with Bill. And Peggy feels sorry for Bill, like he needs to find a psychiatrist. She even says that he needs to find a psychiatrist. And Hank's like, he's suicidal, not crazy. Which kind of, you know, goes back to what I was saying earlier about kind of the mentality of some Texans, especially older ones. I definitely think it's changing nowadays, but the mindset of you only see a psychiatrist or a therapist if you're like talking to your toaster and your toaster is telling you to like kill the kids at the school or something. You don't go see a psychiatrist if you're depressed or sad or whatever, or anxious. So yeah, I think that's kind of his suicidal, not crazy response there. But they decide that they gotta watch him closely until he quote unquote snaps out of it. So they decide to take shifts. But Dale's kind of like, oh, you know, why don't we just sit there and let whatever happens happens? Because Dale doesn't want to have any part of this. And then Bill like talks up and he's like, hey guys. And then Dale's like, shut up, we're trying to talk here. Which is kind of funny because this is kind of a common theme showing how little Dale respects Bill. But Dale, I think, just naturally kind of hateful person. So we go to Bill's place and Hank shows up and he sees a knife on the table, like not a crazy, like, you know, super sharp knife, more of like maybe a steak knife. So a little sharp there, but he's like, oh, this shouldn't be here. And he hides it. And, you know, Hank is like, yeah, should we get ready to get to sleep? And Bill's like, all I do is sleep. I guess I'm getting prepared for the long one. And Hank's like, oh, come on, how about a beer? And he's like, beer's a depressant. And Hank's like, don't take this out on beer. As Hank goes to get a beer, Bill rushes and puts his head into the oven. And Hank walks away and he's like, it's electric, Bill. And he's like, it's getting pretty hot. So then Hank runs in and pulls his head out of the oven. And then Hank tries to help Bill get ready for bed. Bill doesn't want to, so Hank decides to dress him. And he's like, okay, so what kind of pajamas do you want? Baseball or, oh, what are these? And Bill's like, oh, I like the feeling of silk on my body. And Hank's like, silk is for pantyhose. And sadly, Bill's like, that's all I've got. You've got a wife. And Hank puts the pajamas on Bill. Hank even brushes his teeth. And then Hank watches Bill as he sleeps. But then Hank nods off and when Hank nods off, Bill wakes up and proceeds to put his head in like the drawer by his bed and slam his head in it multiple times. And that wakes Hank up and Hank tries to save him. And then I like how it cuts over to Dale protecting him or Dale watching over him. And we see Bill on the couch and he's like, can I get a drink? And then it kind of cuts over to Dale and Dale has a shotgun. And he's like, not on my watch. On one hand, I appreciate the fact that they are dedicated to making sure Bill is safe and doesn't harm himself. But at the same time, they just need to realize that they're not enough. Like, they are not mental health professionals. They can't help Bill.
I do feel like after maybe a couple of days, and you feel like, because I could see their point of not wanting to, like, send Bill away and being maybe like, this is a little phase and it's like, go through it or try to help him. But they're not real. Honestly, they're not really trying to help him. You know what I mean? Like,
no
one's talking to him about the problem.
No, I mean, even Hank says as much. He says, like, he's going to snap out of it. So they just figure that, like, oh, if enough time passes, Bill's going to get better. So let's just keep him alive until that time comes, and then we'll be good to go.
Also, silk feels really good. You know, like, have you ever... I don't have any silk pajamas or anything like that. But I have, like, worn silk things. And silk does feel really good, guys. I don't know why Hank... I feel like Hank should have put it on. He would have enjoyed it.
I think he would have been upset, just from what I know about it.
Also, I feel like Boomhauer has, like, silk clothes.
Oh, he absolutely does. So he has at least, like, a silk thing or something, like a silk,
like a robe or something.
Robe, like that. Yeah, or silk underwear or something. I guarantee he does.
I do like to see, I like seeing the, like, this is how Hank handles Bill. It's very, like, a childlike thing. Like, let me brush your teeth. Let me change you. And Dale is like, no nonsense. Like, we're not even moving from this spot.
Which is kind of ironic in a way, because Dale has a gun. If Bill really wanted to kill himself, like, that would be the way to do it, because that would be an easy way to do it. Now, granted, some people don't want to go out that way, but I guess maybe that's the irony of it, is that Dale's trying to protect him from killing himself by threatening to shoot him. So what Boomhauer does is, Boomhauer doesn't even bother to keep Bill at the house or whatever. Boomhauer doesn't want this running in his life. So he actually takes Bill out to the dance hall, but not to meet women or whatnot, just because that way it'd be easier for him to keep an eye on him as he's trying to meet women. And Bill's looking around and he's seeing all the people dance and kiss and all that stuff. And he's like, oh, me and Lenore used to come here and watch people dance like that. And eventually it's just too much for Bill. So he runs out to the middle of the street and he sees the truck come and he stays in the street acting like he wants to hit him. But then the truck turns off into a gas station. Boomhauer comes in, Boomhauer comes out angry and brings him back in. We cut over to Bill's and the guys are just like, I can't keep this up. You know, Dale, or we go back to Bill's and Dale's like, I can't keep this up. It's not in my nature to care for others. And Boomhauer's against it too, because it's really just cramping his style and ruining his calendar and all that. So Hank is like, I'm going to have to take over all the shifts then. Just need to clear with my boss. And he notices, like, Dale has something under his shirt and he's like, what are you wearing? He opens up Dale's shirt and he has Bill's pajama top on. And it's like, oh, yeah. Bill would have wanted me to have it. At Strickland, Hank goes up to Mr. Strickland and says, you know, I need to take some days off because, and then Buck's like, oh, I assume it's for the Christmas party. Yeah, well, you want to get that right. You invited the entire client sheet, so we need to make it look good. And Hank's like, well, actually, it's because I have a friend who's, you know, and then Buck doesn't really care to hear anything. He's like, yeah, okay, do whatever. Oh, and have Donna zero out your vacation days. So Hank's upset. At Hank's house, you know, Bill's trying to drown him. Or at Hank's house, Hank's talking about how Bill tried to drown himself in the toilet and asked Peggy for he asks Peggy if she can find a date for Bill, and Peggy's like, oh, I don't know, I'd have to invite a woman over for dinner and never tell her that Bill is there. And Hank's like, thanks, Peggy. So yeah, I guess Hank seems to be the only one who actually cares about Bill's well-being in this one. Not enough to actually give him the stuff that he needs, which is professional help. But I think to his credit, based on the person he is and the lack of understanding he has about the world, Hank understands that, like, oh, maybe if Bill just meets the nice woman, he'll be fine or something. Let's get him a date.
I feel like Hank has a lot of vacation time. I don't know. What do you think?
I doubt it. I mean, he might. Well, it depends on what kind of company he works for, because it is mentioned a few times that he doesn't take vacation days. Like in one of the previous episodes we mentioned, it shows that he doesn't take vacation days. But at the same time, like, does his vacations carry over? I'm sure they don't, like, accumulate indefinitely. Like at my job, at some point you'll stop accumulating vacations. Like he'll top out, and so you'll just have if you never take a vacation, it's not like you're going to get infinite vacation days. You just won't be holding on to the same few weeks for a few years.
I feel like Hank wouldn't be too upset about it. But the other thing is, when Boomer takes Bill to the dance hall, I always feel so sad at this point when he's like, Lenore and I used to come here and watch people dance. Like, did they never get along? Were they not people dance? Like, why wasn't it like, Lenore and I used to come here and dance? He was like, we used to come here and watch other people dance.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I guess that's just the joke, but it's also like, why would you do that? Like, why would you go to a dance hall just to watch people dance? Like, there's other ways you could spend your time together, but, you know, maybe that was just their thing.
I feel like they never got along. Like, maybe one day they got along.
Yeah, that could be the case. But then it was, like, downhill from there. That could very well be the case. At the dinner, to his credit, he's dressed up nice. He's wearing his army uniform, which I don't know if that's necessarily dinner appropriate, especially dinner at the Hills. It's not like they're going to a fancy restaurant or anything, but you know, at least he's trying. But then he has a spoon and he's talking about how he can't have a knife and he's in the middle of killing himself. And this is clearly like upsetting the woman, and she's angry. And she's like, you lied to me, Peggy. She sees that he also brought his iguana for whatever reason. So she's like, oh, you know, you collect pillows and he collects exotic animals. And she's like, I have some throw pillows, but I find iguanas disgusting and gross. And Bill's like, well, I think we can all use a bath sometime. And the woman's kind of got that, well, I never look on her. And the iguana pees on Bill. And Bill's like, oh, it's fine when it's your own. And Bill then asks the woman to marry him and smothers her. And then Luann's all happy. He's like, oh my gosh, it's happening so fast. Because I guess she doesn't have like the wherewithal to know, realize what's happening. And the ladybird shows up and scares the iguana. The iguana runs out the window and Bill goes out the window after it. And Peggy's like, Sheila, I must let you know, I gave Bill your number. At Bill's house, we see Hank getting ready to go over there just to check on Bill. And as Hank's getting over there, he's watching Dale leave the house with Bill's TV. And Hank's like, Dale! And he's like, Bill would have wanted me to have it. Bill is begging Hank for help to find Lenore. And Hank finally breaks to him that Lenore is never coming back. And he essentially trashes the house. He like throws all the gifts, like, she doesn't want this box or this clothes or anything like that. And he's just trying, he's giving him tough love, I guess you could say. And this breaks Bill. And, you know, he's like, Hank's like, how do you feel? And Bill's like, I don't feel anything. And he's like, oh, great, that's good. And thinking, he snapped out, he's like, you're sure you're okay? Yes. And so we go to the Hill house, and Hank mentions to Peggy that he was hard on him, but he thinks it was for the best. And Peggy's like, oh, are you sure that he was all right? It's like, I asked twice. they find the lizard or iguana, and he's like, oh, there's that thing. So Hank goes to deliver it to Bill, and he sees a woman in the backyard, and he's like, hey, who are you? And the woman turns around, and it's Bill in dress, and Bill says, who's Bill? I'm Lenore. So it's like, I think that finally broke, is what broke Bill at that point.
What? Oh, Sheila. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Peggy just found Sheila, but she had her phone number. I don't know who this Sheila is, but she does not seem like she would be Peggy's friend. Maybe another substitute teacher.
That's my inclination, either like a substitute teacher or somebody who works at the library or something like that.
Because it just feels like her and Peggy wouldn't like mesh well. She seems very uptight, and Peggy is a little more loose person.
That's very true. Peggy does not. This woman definitely looks like a. Not, I don't know if I'd say boring. Yeah, she definitely seems like a boring woman. She's definitely like got the very stern older librarian look to her. And she looks like she's probably no fun. Now, granted, maybe she is fun and she's just really upset at Bill. And that's why she's out that way. But yeah, they don't seem like they have a lot in common. I'm guessing it's somebody that she knows, like she tangentially knows, like at the school library or something. That's my guess.
I love the part where she's like, I gave him your number. Do you change your number after this?
I mean, yeah, this is the 90s, so I don't know if blocking phone numbers were as easy back then. I'm sure, actually, it probably was. It probably wasn't super easy. Like, you could just do it, with a click of a button or something, but you could probably call the phone company and ask them to do that.
Also, what a great sport, Sheila. Like, she could have just gotten up and left. Like, saw that iguana and been like, I'm out of here. But she was like, I'm going to see where this goes.
Yeah, I guess she didn't want to be too rude. Or maybe she wasn't quite yet at her breaking point. Though I think after the point of Bill asking her to marry him would have probably ended the date anyway, had Bill not run out of the window.
Also, I feel like at this point, it's like when you're like, okay, this problem is too big for us to handle. When you see Bill in the dress, I feel like that's the point where you're like, okay, maybe we can't handle this on our own.
Yeah, I think at some point they need to realize that this is outside of their area. But I think Hank is still thinking that at some point they could snap him out. Hmm. So back at Bill's house, Hank is like, Bill, take off the dress. But then Bill, in like a very poorly done woman's voice, is like, why do you keep calling me Bill? I'm Lenore. And Hank's like, oh, no, this is too much. You used to block for me, but I did my part, too. You're not even trying. I don't even know what sport you're playing. You're maybe some weird kind of tennis. And then Bill is like, oh, can't wait to see you at the party. And Hank's like, no, stay away from my party. And as Hank leaves kind of under his breath, Bill's like, well, I was already invited, so there. Bill appears in the alley, and Dale is like, oh, come on, you know you're Bill. And Bill's like, no, I'm Lenore. And then Dale's like, well, okay, if you're Lenore, where's Bill? He's in the house. You already get it? I'm skeptical that you could, but I'm intrigued that you may. And then Bill leaves, Dale's like, Bill's acting weird, but then nobody really acknowledges his statement. So he's like, huh, maybe it's just me. Lenore comes back and is like, well, Bill's busy. He could have come here. And he's got like a little, I guess, sweater or whatnot. It's like, I got to wrap because it's so cold out here. And Hank leaves and he goes home and he's peeling potatoes. I guess they're making fries or whatever for the party. And he's like peeling in anger, and he's to where you can only get like one French fry out of the potato. And he's like, Peggy points out, oh, you're angry. And he's like, of course I'm angry. I used my vacation days on Bill, and he threatens to crash my party. And Peggy's like, Bill isn't trying to be a pain. He's just hurting. The only way Bill could get over Lenore was to become Lenore. I'm sure there's some psychological made reason for this or something to that effect, which is such a Peggy thing to say. And then Luann's like, I don't know, but it just seems to me like Bill needs closure. He needs to realize that she isn't coming back, which is like one of the smartest things we've ever heard Luann say. And so Peggy says, you know what? I'll invite the real Lenore to the party, and then that way they can like hash it out and get it out. You can get it out of the system. And then Luann's like, oh, I hope they don't show up in the same dress.
Well, that would be a worry if they did. They are making tater tots, remember? Because Bobby offers a homemade tater tot.
Oh, yeah. I guess that does make sense. Yeah. Yeah, I guess they were.
Yeah, I guess you shave tater tots. Yeah, tater tots are like shaved pieces of potato. Okay. I was like, wouldn't you want a small potato? But no. I don't know. I always feel... this is where I get upset with Hank. Like, Hank's been a really good, loyal friend. Maybe misguided in his way of helping Bill, but very loyal. But at this point, I'm very like, man, Hank cares more about this party than he does Bill.
Yeah, for sure he does. But I also think he's reached his breaking point. But I also, like, one, it should have never gotten to that point. They should have, like, when he was saying he was going to kill himself, they should have gotten him help. In fact, I think any, like, never assume anybody's joking if they say they're going to kill himself. Get them help as best as you can. Unless you happen to be a mental health professional, you probably can't help them. You can be emotional support as they get through it, but you can't provide them the help they need. So Hank really should have done that.
You're correct. Yeah. Yeah. No one really took this seriously. And I feel like it did feel like it was getting better at one point, but then it just got progressively way worse.
I agree. It did get worse. And I think it's because nobody actually helped him. Like, nobody got him the actual help that he needed. Let's see. So we are at the party. Okay. So Buck's like, hey, everybody's at this party. This is going to be great. You have the big fish and the little fish. Now, Hank, if you see a little fish cornering me, it's your job to pull me away from them. And Hank's like, we should treat all of our customers like they're big fish. And Buck's like, save that for the little fish.
Little fish.
Bill then appears, but in his Lenore getup. And Hank is obviously super angry and concerned and everything. And as Bill walks in, I guess Bobby is playing kind of like the host or the server. And he's like, may I offer you a homemade tater tot, Mr. and Mrs. Dotrieve? Buck is upset. He's like, what the hell is going on here? And Hank's like, I ordered a Santa. This must be a mistake. Lenore goes, or I guess Bill acting like Lenore, goes to get wine and beer. And Hank tries to ask him to leave. But he's like, no, I'm here to stay. I want to mingle. All of a sudden, a phone call comes, and it's Lenore, and Peggy picks up and is like, oh, Bill, it's Lenore. And as Peggy is talking and Bill's getting ready to walk over, Lenore, you know, over the phone, you can hear Lenore essentially say that she has no desire to show up. She's not going to show up to the party. And Peggy's like, well, can you at least just talk to him? And she doesn't want to do it. It's like, can you just say something to the phone on him? And it's like, no. And then so he hangs up. So Peggy hangs up. It's like, sorry, Bill. And now Bill's just about to break again. And he starts crying and he's getting ready to pour more wine. And you can hear everybody talking about this, getting really upset. And Boomhauer tells Hank that he needs to do something before this explodes. And all of a sudden you hear all the stereotypical like Texas stuff like, go back to Hollywood. This is not the Democratic National Convention. You've crashed the wrong party, honey. And all of a sudden Hank comes down wearing one of Peggy's dresses and he's like, woohoo! Yeah, this is a party now. It's one of those kind of parties. Anything goes. And Dale's confused. He's like, this wasn't on my invitation. Did Bill get a different invitation? And Bill, it gets upset and runs out. Hank follows and Peggy's like, all right, who wants to play Boggle? Never played it with this many people before, but hey, it's Christmas. In the middle of the street, Hank stops Bill and says, Bill, I'm Lenore. And he's like, no, I'm Lenore. It's like, nope, Bill, I'm Lenore. I left you forever because you are lazy and no good. We fight so loud day and night. We fight so loud the neighbors could hear. And Bill's like, no, Lenore, come on, please. We can work this out. It's like, Hank's like, if I wanted to work things out, I would have called you. I don't love you anymore. I don't love you. And then Bill kind of snaps back to him and he gives it to Lenore, or Hank dresses Lenore, and he's like, well, you know what? You didn't even leave me a Dear John letter. I'm at least worth a Dear John letter. There's a lot of women who would agree with me. So you just get out of here, Lenore. It is time for you to leave. And then Hank's like, okay, if this is what you want. And then Hank takes off the dress, and that's like symbolizing Lenore leaving. And this quote-unquote cures Bill. And he takes off his dress, and he's like, oh, I hit rock bottom. And then Hank's like, and hard. But it's all uphill from here. Yep, you've got the wind to the back. And in the background, you see Dale in a dress getting ready to go to the party. But then he realizes that Hank and Bill are no longer in his dress. And he's just like, get! And he runs away, and the episode ends.
I love that Bobby offers the tater tots to Mr. and Mrs. Doltreve.
I agree. That was kind of funny that he... I guess he was trying to be polite, I guess. And so he offered the tater tot to both Mr. and Mrs. Doltreve. I don't know how. I mean, I guess it's funny. Like, it's also just kind of weird or sad, but it was funny.
I also love, I mean, I don't know when we lose it because she doesn't talk about it anymore, but when Peggy was like, Peggy's really into Boggle. Like, that was like her first suggestion. Like, let's play Boggle.
Yeah, for a lot of the episodes, that's the case, is that she is just like huge. She's just huge on Boggle. Like, even one of the earlier episodes, she does a state Boggle championship and everything.
Yeah, and she wins. She's the state Boggle champion.
Exactly. In later episodes, we don't really ever see her. Like, in the very late episodes, we don't see her do Boggle much anymore. But yeah, that's like a huge thing about her. Like, she always, anytime something happens, she defaults to wanting to do Boggle.
I also don't know how I would react at that party. I mean, I definitely would be like, something's happening here. I mean, I guess it's because a different time. I'm a different generation than kind of who would be at all these Strickland people.
Yeah, I think definitely within... like this realm of the world and this time frame, this part of Texas, like, they've definitely never seen anyone come to a party dressed as a woman, like, unless it was a performer or something. And even then, I'm pretty sure they'd be upset. I mean, we still have people upset about drag shows in Texas and stuff here in 2022, almost 2023.
Yeah. And I do feel like Hank and Peggy are the same size and everything. Because there was that episode where he's wearing her jeans. And now he fits in her dress.
Yeah. That is... Unless it's like an old maternity dress. Yeah, that's kind of sad that they're the same size in that way.
I don't know. I'm glad Bill snapped out of it. I think one of my favorite parts of this episode is where the Dale in the background, because you see Dale come out in the dress, but he's also carrying a purse.
That's true. He is.
So he like was like, I'm doing it up. And I love seeing the shock Dale.
Yeah. Well, I love that, you know, for all the problem we complained about Hank, you know, I love the fact that he was able to come to Bill's rescue, and instead of I guess his initial gut reaction was to try to kick Bill out. But then when he saw that Bill is in distress, rather than just leaving him to hang out to dry, he came to his rescue and was just like, oh, look, I'm in a dress too. This is a crazy party. This is, look at how wacky we are.
I am glad finally Hank was able to was like, we need to talk about this problem.
Yeah. Now, I want to be very clear that this is not how mental health works. You can't just put on a dress, pretend to be the other person, and break them of their issues. But I do like that Hank tried to give Bill the closure that he needed.
Yeah, I don't think Bill ever talked about that. You know, I'm just guessing. I don't know what happened, but like, I feel like just knowing the guys in the alley, it just feels like no one ever was like, do you need to talk about what happened, Bill? Because from this, it just seems like she just got up and left one day.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, not even leaving a Dear John letter, because if she got up and left while he was at work or something, a lot of times I'll leave a Dear John letter and say, like, things aren't working out, I'm going to stay with my mother's or something like that. It just sounds like she left and he came home and she was gone. And I could only imagine, like, you know, they bring up how they fight all the time and Bill was lazy, which I don't know how true that is. I think just Lenore's behavior makes me feel like she was the bad one in the relationship, but I guess we'll never quite know. But, like, she, you know, the fact that she, I guess the fact that she just up and left Bill without a word is annoying. And I think, I wonder if that's what broke Bill. Like, I wonder if he was, like, a really decent guy. How we were talking earlier about, like, how things changed from Bill, how he went from being a great guy to, like, being the star football player and everything to all of a sudden being the Bill we see in the show. Maybe that was, like, the breaking point for him.
That is true, because every time we've seen Bill in a relationship, he's been really, really good at the relationship. And, like, everyone's like, he's a better person now. He's more clean, and he's, like, taking care of himself and doing things.
Yep. Well, I mean, at least this is a good step for Bill, and he's moving forward. You know, Christmas holidays can be hard for a lot of people, especially, you know, when it comes to loved ones and family. So I do kind of like, in a way, like, I have mixed feelings. So on one hand, I do like how they handled mental health and showed that mental, you know, holidays can be a hard time for a lot of people, and we should be aware of that. I don't like how they necessarily treated it, but I guess in a way, it was good because they showed that, like, look, you, Hank, you're out of your league. You can't fix Bill. This is not your job. This is a mental health professional's job. But then in the end, he winds up, quote, you know, fixing Bill, giving him closure. But then I guess at the same time, it does make for a better TV show to actually see a resolution with the episode at the end of the episode versus, like, I don't know, I guess a more realistic one would have been, like, you know, that at the end of the episode, they see him go into his first therapy session or something. But either way, I think it was good, the way they did it. Mm. In the grand scheme of things. Yeah, any more thoughts on this one?
No. Just, I do like this episode. It has funny moments. It's like, you know, there's Bill. But yeah, at the end of the day, like, I think we can just enjoy this, but, like, you have to realize, like, this isn't life, you know? Like, yeah. I know we're laughing at it, but, like, you know, it is a serious subject. So, you know, if you're listening to this podcast and someone needs help, then help them get the help they need. Luckily, Bill made it through this one because we all love Bill.
Yes, absolutely. We love Bill. We love that it worked out. And to anybody out there, whether it is you or a loved one or someone you know, if you need help, please go and get it. There are a lot of resources. I forget, there's a new suicide hotline number. So it used to be like a long 1-800 number or whatever. Now I think it's 988. So if you ever need help, you know, there's always people there for you. There's people who love you. People who would miss you. So please, please, please take care of yourself during this holiday season. But yeah, on that note, that's this episode. We'll catch you on the next one. Until then, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.